So Tennessee had one guy drafted in the first round. Of course, that was Darnell Wright, 10th overall. And then the slide happened. Kept waiting and waiting and waiting. And then finally, a run of volunteers went in the third round. We're going to recap everything that happened Friday and Saturday from the NFL draft right here on your Monday, Locked On Vols.
You are Locked On Vols, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey everybody, happy Monday and welcome into it. This is Locked On Vols with your host Eric Kane. Appreciate you guys being with me here today and following along as always at underscore Kaner and at Locked On Vols. Shout out every dayer as you guys are incredible. You can become an every dayer by subscribing to the Locked On Vols YouTube channel and wherever you get your podcasts. That's Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, wherever you guys get it, the Odyssey app, just search Locked On Vols. This episode is brought to you in part by FanDuel Sportsbook. It's the official sportsbook of Locked On. Make every moment more by visiting FanDuel.com/LockedOn today to go ahead and get started. All right, so the NFL draft, it has come and gone. Got off to a really, really great start Thursday night. A top 10 pick for Tennessee and offensive tackle Darnell Wright. From there, though, radio silence for a little bit. The rest of the first round, nobody moved up. Nobody selected Hendon Hooker like I thought would happen. Nobody took Hendon Hooker in the second round, and then lo and behold, you get in the third round, and then Hendon Hooker selected, and then the rest of the big five, if you will, kind of go on a run there in the third round. We'll get into a little bit of that in segment two, some undrafted free agent deals that we know about right now in segment three, some former Vols that got drafted and how it's kind of full circle moments for some of those guys, which is really interesting. And maybe look ahead at the 2024 NFL draft, some of those big time prospects. That's coming up later in the show. But let's divulge all of our conversation to Hendon Hooker here in segment number one. Real quick, mailbag podcast that's coming up tomorrow. So at underscore Kaner at Locked On Vols. Fill out the comment section here on YouTube if you guys have any questions on Tennessee football, basketball, recruiting, baseball, NFL draft, whatever you guys have, your thoughts on the NFL draft. Let's hear it for Twitter Tuesday mailbag show that is coming up tomorrow. So Hendon Hooker finally gets off the board and he is selected in the third round. That is pick number 68 overall by the Detroit Lions, and Hendon Hooker is off the board. He is the fifth quarterback selected in the NFL draft. Remember Bryce Young went one to Carolina, CJ Stroud went two to the Houston Texans, Anthony Richardson went four to the Indianapolis Colts. And then the slide happened, and we discussed this a little bit on Friday's show, how I think the slide of Will Levis affected Hendon Hooker a little bit, and Will Levis fell out of the first round, but we knew in round two that there were going to be some teams who were kind of hungry and trying to get after it to find their quarterback. I mentioned some of those teams being the Rams at 36 overall, the Seahawks at 37 overall, and the Tennessee Titans at number 41 overall. And I said, watch out for some movement. There could be some movements, not just, you know, obviously we're tracking it for Hendon Hooker's sake, but obviously Will Levis is still on the board. And I said, there could be some movements, maybe one of those teams moving up to get their quarterback at the first little bit of the second round. And it was the Tennessee Titans. I'm not going to make this a Titans podcast. But many of you everydayers have been reaching out to me over the weekend, and a couple of you guys gloating because for some reason you're Jaguars fans. I don't understand that. But some of you guys just really feeling for me because Tennessee drafted up to take Will Levis. I mean, yikes. As a Tennessee Titans fan, I'm not happy about that. But really, I mean, from a national perspective, and this is not me just trying to rationalize it, but from a national perspective, you have a quarterback, according to ESPN Stats and Info, that had a 99.2% chance of being drafted in the first round, slides to the second round, and you have a team that needs a quarterback trading up to go get that guy to make sure they get him in the second round. I mean, that's a good move from a national perspective. But again, there's a reason he fell to the second round. There's a reason, in my opinion, that he's not been a good college quarterback. And this was never Tennessee Titans, you know, Hendon Hooker versus Will Levis. You don't draft just based on the guy playing a couple hours to your right. I understand it would have been fun. The whole Josh Dobbs experiment last year was fun and everything. I prefer Hendon Hooker over Will Levis without a doubt. But Tennessee was taking a quarterback that they thought was better, and they checked all their boxes, and Will Levis was that guy. As a Tennessee Titans fan, it's very unfortunate because not just that move, But I mean, and I like the tackle from Northwestern, but it, bottom line, he's going to be a guard, folks. I mean, you drafted a guard at 11 overall. You traded up to get a sorry quarterback in Will Levis in the second round, and then you took a running back from Tulane with literally no ACL in the third round. So again, this is not a Titans podcast, but anybody checking up on me, anybody want to know my thoughts on that? Well, I think that first year with the new GM, what an opening statement. Pathetic. We're moving on here. But Will Levis goes to Tennessee Titans in the second round, and then nobody else in the second round took a quarterback. You just continue moving on down the list, down the list, down the list. And then finally you get to the third round, and the fifth pick inside the third round that goes to the Detroit Lions, and the Detroit Lions with the 68th overall pick select Hendon Hooker. Sure, it's disappointing. It is disappointing that Hendon Hooker slid to the third round. But as I said on Friday's show, you know, most of these guys had a second-round grade on Hendon Hooker, so the fact that he wasn't picked in the first round was a surprise to me, because I just thought the run on quarterbacks, that's what would happen, but that run was over very, very early. I just thought more often than not, you see teams going up and taking a chance on a quarterback, taking a chance on that fifth-year rookie deal, that option deal, and all that type of stuff. But again, Hendon Hooker had a second or third round grade for a lot of people, mostly second round grades. But Hendon Hooker slides to the Detroit Lions, and he's taken fifth overall in that third round. He is the second Tennessee Volunteer off the board, and it's a pretty decent, you know, it's a pretty decent little situation that he's in there. So this is the post-draft analysis over at ESPN.com. I think this is Mike Miller that writes it. My number 27 overall prospect, Hooker, has the tools to be the quarterback of the future in Detroit, depending on how well Jared Goff plays in 2023 as his contract winds down. Hooker, once healthy from his ACL, brings a mobility to the position that Goff just doesn't offer, but he is a similar thrower and leader of the offense. It's tough to predict third-rounders as future starters, but Hooker has the ability to be one and was drafted into a great situation in Detroit. Well, what is that situation in Detroit right now? Of course, you've got Jared Goff, who I think I saw a report, and I got to be honest with you guys, I'm not, like, if I Google, you know, Jared Goff contract, a lot of the stuff I'm saying, I don't have clarity on this, but I think I read somewhere where in 2024, Jared Goff has no guaranteed money. So essentially there's an out there if Jared Goff plays poorly in 2023. Jared Goff played good in 2022. He really did. He kind of showed glimpses of why he was that number one overall draft pick way back when to the LA Rams back in 2014 or 2015. The other quarterback on the roster is Nate Sudfeld, who had a little bit of a show in Philadelphia. I think he was in, San Francisco a little bit as well, but he is obviously a career backup. But what else does Hendon Hooker maybe have to work with in terms of weapons in that offense maybe one day? Well, you've got Jameson Williams, who's going to be suspended for six games to begin this season, but he's in there. You got Khalif Raymond, a former Tennessee Titan. I know that name. You got David Montgomery as a running back. You got Jahmyr Gibbs, you drafted as a running back. Other receivers, you have Josh Reynolds. You have, let's see here, Marvin Jones Jr., who's the biggest name of all those guys. You got a pretty decent situation there, and I like the way they drafted. I know this is, you know, kind of unique in terms of, you know, this is not really how you do it if you're a team drafting. But what Detroit did was they said, hey, everything we know about drafting, let's throw it out the window and let's do it our way. Jahmyr Gibbs, they took at 12th overall, which was a big-time stretch. I think Jahmyr Gibbs is going to be a good player in the National Football League, but 12th overall as a running back? There were two running backs taken in the top 12 picks. Are you kidding me? It's a running back. It's a dime a dozen position. But Jahmyr Gibbs is a good player, and I think he will be a good player in the National Football League. Detroit said, hey, I want him. I'm going to get him. They took him at 12. At 18, they took an inside linebacker at 18, Jack Campbell of Iowa. They took his They took his roommate at Iowa, a tight end by the name of Sam Laporta, in the second round. They took the safety from Alabama, Brian Branch, in the second round. Then they took Hendon Hooker. So I think they had a pretty decent draft. They did it their own way, and they didn't, you know, ask for permission to do it that way. They just kind of did it their own way, which was very different from how most teams do it. But I think this is a good situation for Hendon Hooker. He gets to go to Detroit. He's not rushed into a situation where he has to play immediately. He can rest. He can recover. He can get fully healthy. You have a quarterback who played really well last year, but that's really been the only year that he's played really, really well, despite taking LA to the Super Bowl a couple years ago. Even then, he wasn't spectacular, but he had a good year last year. Let's see if he does it again this year. If not, there's an out after 2023. His contract is only for two more years to begin with anyway. So Hooker's in a situation where he can step in, learn, adjust, and be ready when called upon with a healthy dose of some young receivers. Detroit's not the Detroit of old right now. They're a little bit different. So I actually like this pick for Hendon Hooker. I do. I think Detroit Lions, it took a little while under new leadership, obviously. But I think that they're starting to turn the corner a little bit. And who knows? Maybe Hendon Hooker can be the starter from here on out, or the face of the franchise here in a couple years from here on out. I think it's a blessing in disguise potentially for Hendon Hooker. But I'd be lying to you, and I'm not trying to sit here and just say, oh, well, it's a disappointment. I wouldn't say it's a disappointment that he got taken in the third round, but it's a little disappointing. I will say that. I think knowing that second-round quarterbacks are not very common, I think that stat that I dropped last week on the show was only two quarterbacks in the last 5 years. Now you can make it three quarterbacks in the last 6 years, but Will Levis went early in the second round. Knowing that second-round quarterbacks are kind of a thing of the past, it's still a little disappointing that he slid that far. But I think Hendon Hooker's in a great spot. I really, really do. And I think Detroit views him as potentially a first-round guy. We know Matt Miller viewed him as the 27th best overall prospect in his class. And so we'll see exactly what happens in the future. Should be exciting. What about some other Vols that went in the third round? Hendon Hooker started it. It was kind of a run of Tennessee Volunteers there in the third round. That is coming up next right here on Locked On Vols. But hey guys, I want to remind you about our friends over at FanDuel Sportsbook. FanDuel Sportsbook, make a fast break to FanDuel for these NBA playoffs, because right now new customers have a chance to get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's $1,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. All you need to do is just go to FanDuel.com today. You can make more with every single pick that you have. It's great promotions every single week. Weekly over there at FanDuel Sportsbook. It's safe and secure on an app, and you get paid instantly. No waiting around to try to get your payout for your bet. There's not a better place to bet the playoff action than over at America's number one sportsbook. Visit FanDuel.com/lockedon and get a no sweat first bet up to $1,000. That is FanDuel.com/lockedon. FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. All right, guys, welcome back into it. It's your Monday edition of Locked On Vols. Don't forget Twitter Tuesday. It is coming up tomorrow. Any questions you guys have for the mailbag edition of the show, get them in at underscore Kaner and at Locked On Vols. Hendon Hooker falls to the third round. Of course, this is after Thursday night when Darnell Wright, Tennessee offensive tackle, went number 10 overall to the Chicago Bears. So Hendon Hooker falls to the third round. He goes to the fifth overall pick in the third round, 68th overall to the Detroit Lions. And then one, two, three, four, five picks later, Tennessee goes off the board, and Tennessee goes off the boards in a hurry. 10th pick in the third round, New York Giants select Jalin Hyatt. 11th pick of the third round, so back-to-back picks. The Cleveland Browns select Cedric Tillman. And then three picks later, 14th pick of the third round, the LA Rams select Byron Young, and then the Tennessee run is over, and that is all of the Tennessee Volunteers who were drafted in the 2023 NFL Draft. So how's the situation like? Well, I thought the Giants were a team that really liked Jalin Hyatt and were high on Jalin Hyatt this entire time. As the draft process went on, and as we venture closer and closer to the NFL Draft, I did not think Jalin Hyatt was going to be a first-round pick. I did not think that he was going to be taken 25 or 26 overall, whatever that situation was for, or whatever that pick was for the New York Giants. But when you look at Jalin Hyatt's draft profile and everything, and Matt Miller, his post-draft analysis says, the Giants have signed Jamison Crowder and Paris Campbell to complement Darius Slayton. However, Sterling Shepard is coming off a torn ACL. They cut Kenny Golladay, and they traded Kadarius Toney last year. Hyatt is a vertical threat who will make it tough to load up against and will run and rotate that coverage to Slayton's side of the field. So it's a pretty good pick in terms of what they wanted. They wanted a speedy wide receiver, and they wanted a guy that could stretch the field, and that's what they're getting in Jalin Hyatt, as Danny Dimes, Daniel Jones is throwing in the football up there. And when you look at the rest of the New York Giants draft class, Devontae Banks, cornerback of Maryland, was their first pick at 25 in the first round. They went offensive line from Minnesota, offensive lineman from Minnesota, John Michael Schmitz. And then they took Jalin Hyatt in the third round, wide receiver from Tennessee. Eric Gray, former Tennessee running back, graduate of Oklahoma, went in the fifth round. to the New York Giants. Trey Hawkins III of Old Dominion, cornerback. Jordan Riley, a defensive tackle from Oregon, and a safety from Houston by the name of Javarius Owens. That kind of rounds out the draft class for the New York Giants. But again, immediate opportunity for a third-round pick in Jalin Hyatt to see the field early on. You have Sterling Shepard, who's their guy coming off a torn ACL, Darius Slayton. They signed Jamison Crowder. They signed Paris Campbell, but they want a vertical threat, and they want a guy that can stretch the defense, and that is going to be Jalin Hyatt. Now, the guy that was picked right behind him is Cedric Tillman, the first breakout star of this offense for Josh Heupel. He was picked right behind Hyatt, 74th overall, 11th pick in the draft, or 11th pick in the third round. This goes to the Cleveland Browns. Post-draft analysis from Matt Miller. Even after making the trade for Elijah Moore, the Browns had a need for a big, physical, outside wide receiver coming into this draft. Tillman is that player. He will push Donovan Peoples-Jones for reps and could work his way into the starting lineup early in his career. Tillman's work on slant routes and his jump ball ability will play well opposite the possession style receiver, which is Amari Cooper. And that's big right there. You got Amari Cooper, who is the go-to guy. He got traded over from, you know, the Dallas Cowboys last year. He is their number one option, Amari Cooper. You have Elijah Moore, who they mentioned they went after in a trade. You have Donovan Peoples-Jones, who is a complimentary player. He's nothing to really write home about, but, you know, that's the competition right here for Cedric Tillman, and a guy that can really see the field early, in my opinion, on the outside as a guy that's, you know, can break through and do some things. You look at the rest of the Cleveland Browns draft class. They took Tillman. That was their first pick in the draft in the third round. They took the defensive tackle from Baylor, Siaka, I don't know his name. That was their other third-round pick. They took Darwin Jones from Ohio State, the offensive tackle in the fourth round. Isaiah McGuire, a defensive end from Missouri. We know that name. It's playing Tennessee. They took DTR, Dorian Thompson-Robinson, quarterback of UCLA, in the fifth round. Cameron Mitchell from Northwestern and a center from Ohio State, Luke Weipler. So two Ohio State offensive linemen, Cedric Tillman and DTR, Dorian Thompson-Robinson, of UCLA over there with Chip Kelly, kind of highlight that being the Cleveland Browns draft. So I love this for Cedric Tillman. Remember Cedric Tillman's actually a junior. Cedric Tillman, his father was drafted by the Bills back in, I believe, 1989, or maybe it was earlier than that. Kind of full circle moment. That's really, really cool. He's a second generational NFL player, that being Cedric Tillman. And I think Cedric Tillman, and I said this before, but now that the draft's over, I'll kind of lean into it a little bit more. I think Cedric Tillman's going to be a guy that's going to play and start in the National Football League for 10-plus years. I do. He just has the making physicality. He's fast enough. He plays on the outside. He can play in the slot if needed. I like this an awful, awful lot for the Cleveland Browns. I really do. All right, let's go to the LA Rams. They're up next, and they took Byron Young, Tennessee. Obviously, let me close this tab I got right here. Tennessee, Leo position, outside linebacker, defensive end, Byron Young, the one from Tennessee. The Raiders earlier in the third round took Byron Young of Alabama, and the guys on the telecast got a little bit confused because unless Byron Young of Alabama also worked at a Circle K, that is inaccurate information, or you just got your scripts flipped just a little bit. It's easy to do, same name, same conference, and same side of the football. But Byron Young, Tennessee's Byron Young, goes to the LA Rams, and I really, really like that pick. The Rams add a potential replacement for Leonard Floyd, who led the team in sacks and pressures last year. Young needs to get stronger against the run, but he should make an immediate impact as a pass rusher and develop into a starter early in his career. 6'2", 250 pounds. I think he's a little bit heavier than 250 pounds right now, but guys, when he got to Tennessee, he was like 215. He put on weight and put on weight in a hurry. So, yeah, would you have wanted some Tennessee guys to be drafted earlier in the NFL draft? Absolutely. But the run, it was kind of hard to ignore that power T in the third round. And at the end of the day, guys, I mean, you had five guys drafted in the third round or above. You had a top 10 guy that was drafted in this NFL draft, and that being Darnell Wright to the Bears. Brent Hubbs wrote an article over at VolQuest.com leading into the draft. He called it, "This is going to be Josh Heupel's finest hour." I still think that can reign true because look at the big picture here, guys. Again, are we upset that Hendon Hooker didn't make his way into the first round or even the second round? Sure, that can be disappointing. But Tennessee had five guys drafted in the first three rounds. Tennessee's highest draft pick Last year was the second round pick in Alante Taylor. And then you had Velus Jones that went in the third round. It's good. I mean, it's really, really good. And again, this is such a recruiting tool that you can take to prospects, you can take to their living room, you can take to those mamas and daddies and say, hey, I'm going to take care of your boy when he comes to Tennessee. I'm going to get him an education. I'm going to get him big, fast, strong. He's going to be well taken care of. He's going to play football. And look at my track record. Look what I just did. I put 5 guys in the National Football League, 4 guys drafted in the third round, and 1 was a top 10 pick. Let your boy come play for me, and maybe he'll have a career in football in the National Football League. So I still think a lot can be taken from this NFL draft, and that's kind of the way it happened. Hendon Hooker goes 68th overall to the Lions. You had Jalen Hyatt that went 73rd overall to the Giants. Cedric Tillman, 74th overall to the Browns. And Byron Young that went 77th overall to the Rams. All those third-round picks. And then, of course, Darnell Wright, 10th overall in the first round to the Chicago Bears. Hey, what about some undrafted free agent signings for Tennessee? Some of those guys that did not get drafted. What about some former Tennessee players? And a look ahead to the 2024 NFL Draft. That is coming up next right here on Locked On Balls. All right, guys, got a couple minutes left here on this Monday edition of Locked On Balls. Shout out Everydayers. Appreciate you guys. And we'll get to your questions for the mailbag edition of the show that is coming up on Tuesdays, Locked On Balls. So we discussed the Big Five, 5 Tennessee Volunteers drafted over the weekend, 1 top 10, 4 more in the third round. Nobody else got drafted, and I'm a little surprised. I thought Jerome Carvin would get drafted. Every single organization was represented at Tennessee's Pro Day. That was a big deal, and Jerome Carvin had a pretty good day at his Tennessee Pro Day, I thought. I thought somebody would take a chance later in the draft, 6th round, 7th round, on Jerome Carvin, but that was not the case, but Jerome Carvin and a couple other Tennessee Volunteers, former Tennessee Volunteers, have signed undrafted free agent deals that essentially get their ticket into camp or into a rookie minicamp. Give them a chance, an opportunity. And the more and more I discuss over this weekend, the more and more I've kind of found out. And I had discussions with Nick Revez about this former Tennessee linebacker a couple years ago. But it's almost like when the draft is over, you have teams that will call you if you're not drafted. And it'll be like rapid fire because they're trying to get, they only have a certain amount of allotment that they can take. And so they're saying, hey, we want to give you an opportunity. Do you want to sign an undrafted free agent deal with us? You know, you got 5 minutes, you got 10 minutes, and then they're going to work themselves back through the list. And it's almost like first come, first serve, right? They only have a set amount of slots. So, you know, a lot of these guys are getting calls from, you know, 6-7 teams all at once, and then split decision. They got to say, all right, where should I go? It's a quick, hey, can I look at the depth chart? It's a quick, like, hey, where is this in proximity to where I'm living? So, sure, you get to make your own decision. That's why a lot of people say, myself included, at this stage in the game, you don't want to get drafted because you want to be able to pick where you want to go. However, it's a short decision, and you've got to make it right there. And so a lot of these guys were getting, their phone was ringing off the hook, and they had to turn to their loved ones, to their wives, fiancés, girlfriends, mamas and daddies, and uncles and aunts and everything, and say, hey, you know, real quick, what do the Giants look like? What do the Chiefs look like? What do the Broncos look like? What's the Mariners, that's Major League Baseball. What's the Seahawks look like? And they got to make that decision. So that's kind of what was going through the minds of, you know, these guys as soon as the draft was ending. So, you know, who are those guys? Well, Tennessee tight end Princeton Fant has signed an undrafted free agent deal with the Dallas Cowboys. 6'2", 245-pound Fant accounted for 9 total touchdowns and 324 yards during his final season at Tennessee. One of the most versatile options in Josh Heupel's offense. Fant caught 22 passes for 241 yards, 3 touchdowns, rushed 6 times for 17 yards, 5 touchdowns as a goal line fullback in an offset eye, even threw a touchdown in a 66-yarder during the UT Martin game. So can the Cowboys find a way to use Princeton Fant, use his skills, his versatility? We'll have to see if Princeton Fant can make that team, but he'll get that opportunity. This is one of the ones I love. Jerome Carvin signs an undrafted free agent deal with the Kansas City Chiefs. Carvin started all 13 games each of the past 2 seasons for Josh Heupel's fast-paced offense, mostly at left guard, a couple of games at center back in 2021. Carvin did not allow a regular season sack in each of the past 2 seasons. In total, the offensive lineman has made 42 career starts, logged nearly 2,800 snaps on the interior of the Tennessee offensive line each of the past 5 seasons. He will link up with former Tennessee offensive lineman and now a Pro Bowl guard, Trey Smith, the defending champion, gosh, why do I have baseball in my mind? About to say World Series, Super Bowl champion, Kansas City Chiefs. That is awesome. I love that. So Jerome Garvin going to get a chance at the Kansas City Chiefs. His versatility, his ability to play both guards and center as a swing man, I think is going to be big for him. So we'll see if he gets that a chance. He'll get a chance. We'll see if he can make the team. Linebacker Jeremy Banks signs an undrafted free agent deal with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Banks in five seasons at Tennessee recorded 219 tackles, 18 TFLs, 5.5 sacks. He had 3 interceptions, 8 passes deflected, a fumble recovery, a forced fumble. He moved from running back earlier in his career to linebacker, and that's kind of where he found a home. So Jeremy Banks going to get an opportunity with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Let's see what he makes of it. This is, you know, sure, there's some of those minor league teams now, if you want to call them, the XFL, the USFL. There'll be other football opportunities for Jeremy Banks. But it's in terms of the NFL, this is it. Let's see if you can, you know, make those meetings, rookie minicamp, all that type of stuff, make an impression. But he will have an opportunity with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Paxton Brooks going to get a chance with a rookie minicamp deal with the Indianapolis Colts. Brooks signed with the Indianapolis Colts in an attempt to earn a spot to the Colts during rookie camp. Brooks, over 5 seasons at Tennessee, averaged 42.3 yards a punt, 163 punts in 61 games, punting for exactly 6,900 yards. It's pretty nice right there. He averaged a career-best 44 yards per punt on 45 punts in 2021. He averaged 39 yards per punt on 38 attempts in 13 games last season. And then you have Latrell Bumpus, who signed an undrafted free agent deal with the New York Giants. In 6 seasons, Bumpus had 65 tackles, 11 TFLs, 3 sacks in 55 games. Used to be a tight end. Did you know that? Used to play tight end back when Jeremy Pruitt was here, and Butch Jones recruited him as a tight end. And, of course, he spent each of the last 4 seasons working through himself through injuries, but really came into his own and played really well when he was healthy on the defensive line. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 players recorded undrafted free agent deals, and they'll get some opportunities. That's good to see. Former Vols, I know a lot of you guys don't care, but they kind of go full circle here for a couple of them. Wanya Morris, former Tennessee offensive tackle. One former 5-star Tennessee offensive tackle went 10th overall to the Chicago Bears. That was Darnell Wright on Thursday. The other, after a transfer out of the program to Oklahoma, Wanya Morris goes in the 3rd round to the Kansas City Chiefs. So, if you think about that 2020 offense, just think about that, right? 2020 offense, Josh Palmer's in the NFL. You've got Cedric Tillman, NFL, Jalin Hyatt, NFL, Velus Jones, NFL, right? You go down the line, Cade Mays, NFL, Trey Smith, NFL, Darnell Wright, NFL, Wanya Morris, NFL. I mean, what the heck? Ty Chandler, NFL, Eric Gray, NFL. All those guys were drafted. Says a lot about the coaching at that time for Tennessee, especially on the offensive end, and the fact that the head coach couldn't stop meddling with the offense. That's mind-blowing when you sit here and think about it. But Wanya Morris links up with Kansas City with Trey Smith and now Jerome Carvin. Wow, that's pretty remarkable how that works. I mentioned Eric Gray. Eric Gray got drafted in the fifth round to the New York Giants. He's going to link back up with Jalin Hyatt, 2 of the hotter prospects back in the class for 2020 for Tennessee. That was Eric Gray and Jalin Hyatt. And then linebacker Henry Tuotuo, 5th round to the Houston Texans. And we'll see if he can make the team there. And then finally, the last thing I want to do here on this episode of Locked On Vols, I did a couple of different Google searches and went to different publications because they always say, never too early, 2024 draft rankings and all that type of stuff. And I wanted to see if any Tennessee volunteer showed up in the top 50 or top round or whatever. And I'm not having much luck. I'm not going to go through the whole list here, but just some notable names who are going to be in the conversation for the next year, like Will Levis was, like Bryce Young, CJ Stroud, like Will Anderson, some of those hotter names in the NFL all season long, and then leading up, of course, to the NFL draft. Caleb Williams and Drake May, going to be probably your 2 top prospects, both quarterbacks. Would have been really interesting to see how they would have been drafted compared to the 5 that were in this class with CJ Stroud, Bryce Young, Will Levis, Anthony Richardson, Hendon Hooker, adding Caleb Williams and Drake May. You know, who you taking, right? Caleb Williams, Drake May, probably the top 2. Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to be up there. Jared Verse, that one, that would hurt, right? Florida State edge. Tennessee had him committed, then he flipped via the transfer portal. That was last offseason. But Jared Verse, he's going to be likely a first-round pick next year. But he's a name on this list from the Draft Network I'm looking at right now. Brock Bowers, tight end from Georgia. Dallas Turner, edge rusher from Alabama. Kool-Aid McKinstry, the cornerback from Alabama. And let's see, there's a couple more here. Michael Penix Jr. is on this list. Goodness, I do not think he'll be a first-round draft pick. But, you know, we'll see. Let's see here. Adonai Mitchell from Georgia. Remember, Tennessee liked him a lot of wide receiver, but passed on him. Tyler Davis of Clemson. Let's see here. James Williams from Miami. That's a name that we've heard in the recruiting ranks before. There's a lot in here. Raheem Sanders, running back from Arkansas. He's listed as 45th overall in the prospect for the Draft Network. And Javon Bullard, cornerback of Georgia. We know that name. Bo Nix, quarterback of Oregon. And so I just, you know, I want to throw out some prospects' names who are going to be viewed towards the top of the list for the class of 2024. No Vols on that list, but I'll tell you this right now. If Joe Milton goes in and plays adequate football, honestly, just adequate football, right? There is no reason that he should not be getting first round top 10 love like Will Levis and Anthony Richardson were this past year. Those two guys did not play good football in college. Those two guys did not play consistent football in college. And those two guys never took over a game and won that for their team. And they were never the best quarterback in their division of their conference, point blank. So if those two guys can get all the hype and Richardson end up going fourth overall in the NFL draft and Levis still getting a respectable pick, 33rd overall, whatever, to the Tennessee Titans, but you know was supposed to be a top five pick, there is no reason whatsoever Joe Milton can't if he just plays adequate football. So we will see. Hey, come back tomorrow. We're going to have our mailbag edition of the show. If you have any questions at all, send them in at _Kaner, at @LockedOnVols. Little Twitter Tuesday action for your mailbag edition of the show. That is coming up tomorrow right here on Locked On Vols. Stay safe, and we'll talk again tomorrow.